everybody. Welcome to a post-CM Punk edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast. Typically, we don't do these as quickly as we've done them back-to-back. But, of course, with the news last night, we felt we had to do it. Brandon is on the other line here to talk about all things WWE and AEW, but probably mostly CM Punk. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, but mostly CM Punk. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, that's probably what we're going to spend most of our time talking about today. And how can you not? I mean, I posted this question on Twitter. And I asked, in the last 5 years, what's the biggest story to come out of wrestling? And I've gotten some very, very interesting, that obviously CM Punk coming back. But I got some interesting responses. We'll go over that at the end of the show here a little bit. But the CM Punk news is nothing small. I mean, we kind of knew it was coming. We had an idea. There were rumors. He had interviewed for the panel job. He hadn't heard anything. And then all of a sudden, he showed up in the last minute of WWE backstage on Tuesday night, looked into the camera and said, just when you think they've got all the answers, I changed the culture. I'll see you here next week. I mean, that it was crazy. Like, even though you knew it was coming, you didn't expect it. What did you think when you saw that?
I marked out. It was amazing. And it was the very minor level of what I want it to be for if he ever comes back at like at a main show, you know, and you hear the whole crowd just erupt. But hearing that music play and seeing him walk out of, you know, a curtain, just all the goosebumps. It was so good. And him coming out doing most of a Roddy Piper quote and then just, I don't know, it was great. I thought it was executed perfectly. It was cool seeing guys like Adam Cole and Samoa Joe there, because obviously they all have ties to like Ring of Honor and stuff. So for them, it's like, you know, this is CM Punk is the guy, right? Like, he's the Ring of Honor guy who got there first, pretty much. I'm not saying he's the first guy to ever do it, but he's the biggest guy to really come over and really set the tone for guys like Daniel Bryan and Cesaro and Seth Rollins and all these other guys who came from Kevin Owens, obviously, from Ring of Honor.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you started hearing about Ring of Honor after CM Punk kind of went through that system. Yeah. I got a real kick out of the reactions from the panelists on that show, because from what I'm reading, from what I'm hearing, no one knew except Renee Young. She was the only one that had any information. She didn't tell anybody. And you could hear it in the article I wrote and the white video I watched, you could hear it. Paige is like, hey, what? Are we being ribbed right now? Like, are we being ribbed? Like, she did not know what was happening. And you could see Renee Young's, like, pride. She hid this from everybody and how proud of herself that she was. And then you could also see everybody else's reaction, how excited they were. And then that kind of awkward moment of like, what does this mean for us? Right. And so you have to assume if you're Booker T or Samoa Joe or Paige or all these people, Christian, whoever, you're like, oh, geez, now what? Like, it's great to have them back. Awesome for us. Good for ratings. What does it mean for me? From what I understand, he is not coming back regularly. He is not going to be on the show every week. He will be there next week, and he'll be on there periodically, says Fox, but he will not be a regular on the show every week, even though they are calling him now part of the cast. So Does it matter? Is it better? Is he like the Brock Lesnar of WWE for WWE backstage? Is it better not to have him every week so you can look forward to him? Or is that sort of a missed opportunity where, you know, he needs to be on the show as often as possible?
No, I think it's perfect, because you don't want to burn out on CM Punk every week, right? I don't want him to become just part of the act. I want him to be a spectacle. And the same way Brock Lesnar shouldn't be used every week, CM Punk shouldn't be used every week. I don't know. It's a weird thing where, obviously, you know, you want to see someone more than once every, like, month. And with Brock Lesnar, it's an interesting situation, because when he's champion, obviously it's lame to only see him there once every few months in the pay-per-view. You know, it's like 3 months apart when he gets defended, the title gets defended. That's lame. But when Brock Lesnar himself is only there, you know, without the title, and he's only there once a month or twice a month or once every 4 months, I'm fine with that, because when he comes back, it's special. It's the same way when The Rock comes back or Stone Cold comes back. Like, we've seen Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair like 10 times in the last couple of weeks. I didn't really care the first time, to be honest, but people care less and less each time they come out. I don't know about you, but I really didn't care whenever Hogan's music would hit.
Yeah. No, the nostalgia's gone after week two, right? It's to have a little mini series or something like that. And I'm sure there's probably a part, even though WWE is not the guy who hired him here, they probably are responding to low ratings. They're probably responding to, you know, demand for Punk. I mean, I don't know who's running the WWE on Fox Twitter profile, but whoever it is, it's hilarious, because it's one of the best follows. If you're not following it, I recommend that you do, because it's really good. But they're probably responding to that. But it has to be some concern from WWE or from Fox that Punk will say something that you'll be like, yeah. So maybe they're just testing this out. They're going, okay, well, you know what? Let's bring it back for a few. Let's see how this goes. Not that they've been afraid to share their opinion. I mean, even on last night's show, the whole panel shot down this whole Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley angle. They hated it, all of them. None of them liked it. And they're not afraid to say when WWE product that good. And Punk is going to do that. Like, that's absolutely the only reason Punk would probably, outside of the money that he's probably being paid by Fox, but he's probably only going to do this show if he can say what he really feels, which is kind of why you want him, but it's also Catch-22, because how often is he going to say anything good, right? Like, that's a concern, probably. So test it out, see what he can do, see if he brings some ratings to you, go from there, right? But just that he's back is huge. Now, here's my question for you. Survivor Series is in a couple weeks on November 24th, and we'll talk about that in a little bit in some of the card and whatever, and we'll do a prediction show later on. But it's in Illinois, which is obviously where CM Punk is in Chicago. Is this just a natural he's going to be on Survivor Series at this point now?
I mean, it's too perfect to say yes. And every time there's ever been a Chicago show for the last 5-6 years, we've always said that. I don't know. I mean, I hope so, right? I'm always going to hope. And one day maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Does WWE deserve to have him out there with the product they've been putting on lately? Probably not. But is that the best reason to get him back out there to try and turn things around? I think so. So I'll say I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do.
I don't want him to wrestle for what it's worth. I don't ever want to see him wrestle again.
Well, he's never – I don't say never. I mean, even Seth Rollins saw the appearance on WWE backstage, and the first thing he said was fight me. You know what I mean?
Bray Wyatt posted about it too, like – I saw you with like
the they're already calling for it. You know what I mean? It's inevitable. It will happen at some point, depending on how physically able he is and medically cleared to go. That'll happen. The money's too there. The demand's too high. It's going to happen. But when you were talking about how in the last 5 years you'd think he's coming back, well, he hasn't been a part of anything WWE related in the last 5 years, and now he is.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. It seems too perfect.
Yeah, so it changes everything. When you've got him already having said, I'm willing to come back, and now he's taken that first step and shown that, hey, he is back. Yes, it's Fox and not WWE, but they're connected at the hip. Like, there's no way that Fox and WWE aren't talking about this stuff when they do it. And, you know, Punk coming back is just going to happen at some point. Does it happen this quickly? That's kind of what I'm asking, right? He went from not hearing anything from Fox to all of a sudden he's on the show.
I don't know how much I believe that, though.
Well, we've talked about this at length, unless Punk's a liar, right? Like, and he's done all this interview.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, but he's been interviewed out of wrestling context. You know what I mean? That'd be like saying, what's Jericho? I know how big a fan of Jericho you are, but he has this polarizing personality that some people love and some people hate because the guy never stopped talking. And you don't know if he's contradicting himself and lying or if he's just in character.
I think he's always in character all the time.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Right? Like, I think he's egotistical and cocky, and he believes some of the shit that he says. But Punk has interviewed a lot of the I'm a wrestler context. So is he telling the truth when he says, no, I didn't know anything. I went and interviewed for it. I tried it out. I didn't hear nothing. Here's what it would take to get me back. Now, he was saying that in the terms of coming back to WWE, and Fox is the guys who hired him here, so who knows how much money they're giving him, or if he's the same bag applies to Fox as it does to WWE.
No, I doubt it does.
Know, right? So we'll see. I mean, this is just going to be – everybody's going to be talking about this. There's already, I think, on our site, we've written one article on the sports where I had some stuff. There's like 3 articles already. Like, it's just going to be huge news for the next little bit. And everybody, it's good for Survivor Series, you know what I mean? If nothing else, if WWE had nothing to do with this hire, you now know they're going to talk all sorts of stuff about how Survivor Series is taking place in Chicago. Right? Like, they're in Illinois. Like, just that alone is going to build anticipation, even if he doesn't show up, that he might. And that might get people to watch the show. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this.
I wonder, does he get mentioned at all on WWE television? Like, on Fox for SmackDown?
Well, WWE already put an article out. Like, WWE.com, right after the show aired, put an article on WWE.com saying CM Punk showed up on WWE backstage. Mm-hmm. Like, within minutes. So I don't know why they wouldn't, right? Especially if you're teasing the idea that maybe he'll come. Like, you don't know, right? They're not going to tease that. They're not going to come out and blatantly say, we'll see CM Punk show up at Survivor Series, unless they know he's gonna. But to say, hey, he showed up, like, you'll probably see, you know how they always have those clips of, like, even one of my Sportsers articles was on Raw one day. Like, they've got, like, the Bleacher Report, and they've got Sports Illustrated, and they've got, you know, Newsweek and blah, 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 and they put all these news articles up about something that big that happened, right? Mm-hmm. They'll do that with the Punk thing. How many different stories outlets covered his return. They'll do that probably on where they'll be like, did you see this? Or on SmackDown, more likely than Raw, because SmackDown's on Fox. You know, Punk came back, and they'll just blast those news articles of everybody who covered the story, and that alone will be like, so what's that mean? Like, he's going to be Survivor, and then they'll probably talk about Survivor Series right after it. Time is just perfect, right? But we can move on a little bit, because we should talk about one other thing that happened at WWE backstage, was that Ryan Satin, Pro Wrestling Sheet, who's been hired now to work with Fox on this stuff, he has announced that Paige and The Miz have signed extensions with WWE. I kind of thought The Miz's deal was done a long time ago. I'm not sure why that is a surprise to me, that that's all of a sudden recent news, but the Paige thing I didn't know about, so that's obviously brand new. But The Miz came on Twitter and said, yeah, I just did it. So clearly whatever we reported, whoever reported that he had signed a little while ago was misinformed.
Yeah.
And that's a new deal. But what do you think of those? I mean, The Miz is an obvious good idea.
Yeah. You got to keep The Miz around forever, because Miz is one of those few guys in WWE who it doesn't matter what's booked and how bad the product is. He went from laughingstock of the wrestling world, whether it was deserved or not, to very clearly like the face of their show for like 2 years, right? Like, he was the best part of their show on Raw or SmackDown or whatever it was for a long time. He was the best part of their show. And people acknowledged that to the point where they thought he should get a world title picture push. And I don't know that I agree with that. But at the same time, why shouldn't he if he was that good? It's kind of a catch-22, because he was so good in the mid-card and elevating the IC or US titles that you don't really want to move him from that. But it's like the Dolph Ziggler syndrome, where it's like, well, if you're going to be good for us in that role, why would I want to put you to a higher role where you're going to, you're not going to elevate the mid-card talent as much, and we already have quote-unquote main event talent who are going to do that for them in the main event. I don't know. I think Miz is the perfect wrestler in WWE, and there's no reason why he should go anywhere, so re-signing him makes sense. And Paige, I mean, we haven't seen her in a while, but we saw her on backstage, obviously, and we're going to see what happens with her post-draft and stuff, and keeping her around is cool. It's a gesture of good faith, too, I'd imagine, after that career-ending injury, and they're taking care of her, which is awesome.
The Miz, for me, is an easy one. I don't love him as a babyface, but I do respect his ability to cut a promo, so if you want to put anybody in the ring with him, he can carry an interview. As a heel, he's one of the best. Paige, I think she's got some marketability. What she's going to do in the wrestling ring, if anything, from here on in, we don't know. She's not medically cleared to do anything, but they use her in a lot of different situations. I'm a little surprised that I don't know what the deal is and how much money, if it's multi-year it is, but who knows. I don't know. Maybe they just figure losing Paige would be, you know, not a good idea. And where they use her, they don't know. But it's better to have her than not have her. That must be mm-hmm. what they're thinking. So, and she's, you know, pretty famous, considering she just had a movie come out last year and all that kind of stuff. So I it makes sense for me on both fronts. I'm curious to see who else is going to be signing and how often WWE Backstage uses this show to announce that kind of stuff. I mean, this is now 2 weeks in a row. Randy Orton news dropped on that show, and now it's Paige and The Miz. Who's next? Because you know they're going to be doing a lot of this stuff, right? Like Revival, whoever else is going to come up next, those announcements will happen there. I think that's what they want to do with the show, right? One, because I think the ratings are great. Hear about the show. I wish they'd find a better format in which to announce this stuff. If you saw that segment, I talked a little bit with you about it before we went on the air. All respect to Ryan Satin, Pro Wrestling Sheet, but that's an awkward, really cheesy spot for him to be in. Like, he's in that studio talking about how he's kind of like a dirt sheet guy. You know, that's how they're putting it. They called it the satin sheet. I won't even begin to go into how many jokes there are about that one. Mm-hmm. But he's basically phrasing it as though, I did all this research and looked it up and I got the inside scoop. Like, he hasn't been fed this information by WWE. It's really awkward. It's just strange. And I like the guy. I've read his work and stuff like that. But just, like, it's weird. They got to find a better way to do it. Like, there should be easier ways to make these announcements to release that news to people without it seeming so corny. But that's not his fault. That's just what they're doing. I don't know. Where else should we go? I mean, we talked a little bit about Survivor Series. We should probably talk about the two teams. those are official. I'm assuming we'll learn, it's Wednesday as we record this, I'm assuming we'll learn that NXT will announce their team. But Survivor Series has a SmackDown team and a Raw team. Raw, of course, is Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Ricochet, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre. And then you've got Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Shorty G, Mustafa Ali. And King Corbin, right?
I can't get over that, sorry.
I know, it's
the funniest thing whatever it said.
and Ali is officially back to Mustafa Ali now.
They were teasing that, or not teasing it, but there's a house show with Mustafa Ali on the screen like a few months ago, and I thought that it was weird that we didn't see that on the main show, but I guess like always they just tested on the house shows first, so...
They must have figured that that's not a big deal anymore. They took it away because of the Mustafa reference being, you know, potentially only heel associated, you know, terrorism, all that other stuff. Whether that's a legitimate concern or not, I don't know. But it's
legitimate
back now,
concern in Vince McMahon's mind because he thinks if you're foreign, you're a heel, because that's always been the, and it's no matter where you're from. If you're not American, you're a heel. Like that's just the way it is, right?
I wonder if it has anything to do with the timing of the Saudi Arabia stuff.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a great look, and even though it sounds like everybody blew this way out of proportion, or maybe they're hiding something, I don't know, but that this wasn't really, you know, a international incident, so to speak, and WWE is doing a lot of stuff to make people aware that this relationship is totally fine. We've extended, we're doing two shows there every year now until whatever it is, 2027 or something, and that he's back to Mustafa Ali just seems like interesting timing to me, right? It's one of those things where it's like, oh, hey, by the way, we're so happy with our international, you know, Saudi relationship. Having the name Mustafa is not a big deal. It's great for our guy, the babyface heel, like babyface hero character. Yeah, let's put Mustafa back on there. Like, it just makes sense that they would do that to me. I don't know if that's why they did it. I'm just assuming, but who knows? It just seems like strange timing.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the teams? Like, who's going to – it seems very lopsided to me, but what do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, like you said, it does seem very lopsided, which is kind of what's concerning to me. Doesn't SmackDown almost always win these things?
Lately.
Seems like they – because they – well, that's also – it's Raw, a different era.
Like, Triple H won it once, I think. And
he was on SmackDown, though, wasn't he? Him and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah,
the only thing with that was when it was SmackDown as the very clear. Don't forget, this is also only you're talking about the 5-on-5-on-5, right? We've only seen 2/3 of that match, to be fair. But
maybe just a half. Like for all we know, they're going to have a UK version too. They put a lot of Imperium on there the last two weeks.
Could, like, they could be part of
SmackDown.
They could be part of the team. In the past, they've had Raw as a very clear A show, but now SmackDown seems to be like the A show almost, right? So that would mean that Raw would win it, and Raw's team does look very stacked, right? McIntyre, Owens, Orton, Rollins, and Ricochet. That being said, I think NXT would make the most sense. I haven't seen the roster, obviously, or like their team, but NXT would make the most sense just on paper. Because you're talking about trying to build a brand, right? And if they've done that for SmackDown in the past where they put, like, the quote-unquote weaker brand, and by quote-unquote, I mean my own quote, the three, it's the least well-known or least publicized show. That would make the most sense to me. It just really depends on who's going to be in the match, right? Because you've already got Fish and O'Reilly in a match. You've got Roger Strong in a match. Finn Balor isn't in a match yet, right? And Adam Cole isn't in a match yet?
No. Yeah, they've got War Games just before that, too, right? So
that's going to be brutal.
How often they use them, right?
How are they going to do that?
Well, it might be one of those things where, like, Roderick Strong doesn't get a ton of time on War Games. I mean, don't get me wrong. They could use them, right? As long as he doesn't get killed in the War Games match, right? But they've had guys wrestle one night, so to have them wrestle back-to-back shows one night before the next in the same city, not that big a deal. But, I see the absence of Daniel Bryan clearly indicates to me that Wyatt versus Bryan will be announced here on Friday as a match for Survivor Series. Like that seems like a shoe-in now. That's what it was going on Friday anyway, but that he's not a part of the team for sure says something. We know AJ Styles isn't part of the Raw team because he's in the triple threat match with Strong and Nakamura. Just announced.
By the way.
What's that?
If Shinsuke wins, he'll be the King of Strong Styles.
There you go. That's a good one, actually.
I actually thought it was really funny.
They should totally do that. That would be not only that, but super unexpected.
Right? No, because if they do it, then it'll just become very cringy and very, like, overdone. A one-off thing is fine.
Can you imagine if Shinsuke is the one who says it, though? Like, that's
okay. Classic, yeah. All right.
If he says it would be different if somebody else said it, right? If the announcer said it, like if Michael Cole said it or Corey Graves said it. But if Shinsuke Nakamura said it, that'd be hilarious, right? You know what I mean? Him trying to get that out there with a tongue twisting and in the language barrier that already exists, it'd be so funny. I don't know if you knew this, but they just announced this morning there's a rematch with Revival and New Day on Friday. You think that they're going to have another swap, or does New Day keep it? Because it's for the titles.
Yeah, I mean, Xavier Woods has a torn Achilles, right? So that's...
they won it without him, right? But yeah. I just thought it was a strange decision because Revival won the titles and didn't have a single match after winning them. The one match they had, they lost. Right? So, like, why did you give it to them? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't go on any show. They didn't do any... There was no title defenses whatsoever. And the first time they did them, they lost them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know what happens ever with the Revival. Like, what their plan is.
Decision. And now they're having a match on Friday. Yeah, but they're giving them a rematch now. Is even stranger. Like, yeah, wouldn't shock me at all. Put them back on there, right?
Yeah.
If the demand for... Because people were immediately like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, everybody likes New Day, but the idea of that tag match that included the Rival could have been a classic, right? So then taking them out of it, maybe the backlash is like, oh, dude, what are you doing, right? So maybe they'll put them back in. I have no idea.
Yeah. So speaking of Xavier Woods, though, he did a cool thing over the weekend. He went to Rooster Teeth. They have their 24-hour Extra Life stream, and he showed up, and he took part in a lot of like the segments they had, and they raised $1.2 billion in 24 hours for Dell Children's Hospital in Austin, Texas. So that was cool. Yep, he showed up. Yeah. He chopped a bunch of people, and one guy who's legitimately huge and jacked and like probably bigger than Xavier Woods, he got chopped at one point, and he was like, you know, I thought they played it up for camera. They do not.
Have you ever been chopped in real life? Have you ever had somebody chop you?
I have not.
Oh, it hurts. I'll tell you a quick little story here. I don't know if people know this that listen to me. I'm a professional DJ and I've been a DJ for 20 something years, and I used to work in nightclubs where the bouncers actually ran a local wrestling promotion called Monster Pro Wrestling out here in Edmonton, Alberta. And some of our doormen were wrestlers. And so at the end of every night, when, you know, the lights had gone on at 2 a.m. in the morning or whatever, and people were goofing around and nobody really wanted to go home and whatever, these bouncers would chop each other. And so we had some newer bouncers that, you know, wanted to be, what do you call it, initiated or something into the group. So that was kind of the thing. Well, it got to a point one night where it wasn't just bouncers that were getting it. It was servers and busing staff and got their turn. And so these professional, huge dudes, 300 pounds, are chopping this. At that point, I'm like 160 pounds soaking wet. And they gave me one good one that rang through that. Oh, my gosh, it hurts so bad. And you're immediately red. And they don't hold back. Like, they want you to know that it hurts. Right. So they're not just taking it easy on you. They're not just going, oh, we'll give him a little one just so he gets it. No, they will hit you with it, especially because they know you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to hurt because I've been a wrestling fan for a long time, but I did not know it was going to hurt that much. And I did not realize how loud it would be. But it stings. It is like, I'd rather get punched than get a serious, serious chop like that. But so I can imagine that people probably are like, holy moly, that hurts. But yeah, it's something else. It's just a, definitely interesting. But yeah, he said he was going to do a lot of stuff, though. The minute that he announced his injury, he said he's going to do a lot of gaming. He's going to get on a lot of videos. He's going to show up at these things. So good for him, because it's good to keep busy when you're down and out. And if he can use his celebrity status in his videos and help himself and other people out, he might as well. Right?
Like, yeah, it's good for everybody to do that. He's huge into video game culture as well. And I know that they're obviously very, very, very known in the video gaming community. So it was cool. And I've been a Rooster Teeth fan since 2004, 2003, like since like day one of that company. So I've been following them all the way through, and they've been raising millions of dollars, like every year, like over $1 million, it seems now. And it's awesome. They do this 24-hour stream. The guy that actually asked him to come on, Jeremy, he was a fan at one point, like even a few years ago. And he's finished his 2 years now at the company. He's been there. But last year he did the 24-hour stream, and then he went home and he streamed like 17 hours straight of him playing the Spyro trilogy, because it had just been like re-released. So he did 24 hours plus almost a full other 24 hours straight of streams, just to end all the money he raised in that was also going in donations. So it's a good cause. And like you said, if guys like Xavier Woods are like, well, I'm hurt and why not? And it's great. He had like a scooter where he was like rolling around on it, because he obviously can't walk. It was great.
Great. Oh, that's cool. Okay, I have a question for you, totally unrelated to that. And we've talked about it the last couple weeks, and I just wrote an article recently on it, thinking and speculating. I don't have it from a good source anywhere other than the wrestler himself has perhaps teased this, but I want your take on this. I want an opinion from you on what you think about this. So I wrote an article called Backstage Details on Importance of the Fiend's Red Light. Now, I got the sense, I didn't even notice it the first time I read it, but then I went back to a couple of his tweets, and on October 31st on Halloween night, I don't know if it was Halloween related or if he was teasing something, because you know when Wyatt talks, everything he says means something. So he said, under the red light, you can't kill him. I'm starting to get the hint that maybe this red light is way more than just a decoration. What's your thought on that? Do you think that maybe this red light is his kryptonite? Because everybody hates the red light. They hate it. Like, nobody wants to see him wrestle under it. It drives people crazy. Kane's already used that thing. It's kind of annoying. And announcers and wrestlers have all said so. But it seems to me like maybe there's something to this. Like, there's a reason they're using the red light. Is it possible that somebody figures out that this red light is a source of power for him, turns it off, and he's actually... you know, there's a chink in his armor because of that. Am I way off base? Do you think that's possible?
No, I mean, at the very least, this gives them an option. Like we were saying, what are they going to do? Like, how is he ever going to lose? And I was saying maybe Bray Wyatt, the regular Bray Wyatt versus Bray Wyatt the Fiend is the answer there. But this is just another option for them to kind of, you know, get themselves out of this hole. But we'll see if they actually use it. Yeah,
that's why I asked you, because we talked so much last week about them painting themselves into a corner with this stuff. And you mentioned Goldberg, I think, is what you mentioned. When you win that much, then all of a sudden you lose, what do you do with the guy? Well, at this point, how's anybody going to beat him? He's unstoppable. There's got to be a way to stop him, right? Like, Superman's got a kryptonite. Is that his kryptonite? So I'm curious to see if they take this anywhere. Obviously, with Daniel Bryan, I don't think they do. This is 2 weeks away. There's not much buildup. Bryan is... speaking of kryptonite, he's the guy that you can beat or win or lose. It doesn't matter. No matter what happens to him, it doesn't matter. Like, so they're not going to do anything but have him get killed. Like, Bryan's going to come into Survivor Series, put up some offense, have exactly the same thing happen that Rollins had happen. He's not going to win. So the Fiend's going to get another feud here where he looks like a monster. But at what point, and who, if this is the case, who do you think is the guy?
Oh, I think it's too soon to tell. I have no idea.
Do you think it's a guy on the roster, or they need somebody new? Because I don't see anybody. At one point, I would have seen Strowman, but I don't see that now.
I have no idea. I don't know if he's on the roster now or not. I think basically what happens with WWE is no one really looks like they're a superstar until they push them like a superstar, right? So you can have someone who's very small and minor, like Bray Wyatt, become the Universal Champion because he becomes the Fiend. So any kind of rebranding or push, or like Chad Gable got such a huge push in that King of the Ring despite losing. And we actually didn't talk about that enough. Despite not winning King of the Ring, and which, by the way, the King Corbin stuff isn't really going anywhere, which is kind of disappointing. They've used it in a funny way, but it's actually pushed Gable more than it's pushed Corbin, which is really interesting to me. But despite him not winning it, or like someone who we thought should win it in like an Alexander or a Cesaro or someone, you know, that could really Ricochet, Chad Gable's really, sorry, Shorty G's really gotten a push from this King of the Ring scenario, I guess. So good for WWE for that. At least they're doing it right in that sense.
If you can call this a good push.
I mean, they're pushing him off of the card. He's no longer.
They're giving him a prominent spot. He's been on every major tag match. He's on the Survivor Series team. He's getting TV time, like, for sure. All of that is absolutely. But is this the kind of TV time? And it's like asking if Rusev, who is saying, "Oh, I love how hot we're the hottest angle in the company right now." I mean, it's still dumb. Like, it's not a good angle. At the end of the day, I can't figure out of those three who's coming out on top of this thing. Like, normally when you tell a story and you have a winner or a loser or an end result, somebody comes out looking good. Who's coming out looking good in this? And if you're Shorty G, at what point do you look good? Like, you can't win this. Like, there's no way that I can see where he continues to get a push and his Shorty G is anything more short time period where everybody gets behind him and then it just goes away. Like, what's the ultimate long-term goal here? I don't see it, right? Yeah, same thing with this recent really angle. I don't see it. There's no long-term benefit to anybody in this thing. It's just a quick way to get YouTube hits and tell a story that sort of resembles the Attitude Era, but among the worst ideas that happened during the Attitude Era, right? Like, that's all this is. So, yeah, he's getting a ton of time, and it's great for him, and he's probably happy to be getting so much TV time like Rusev is, but I don't know where they benefit at the end of the day on all this stuff. But so that's unfortunate. But yeah, it's good for them. They get their time, right? Same with Ali. I don't know where his is going, but he's getting a lot of time. He's in the Survivor Series match. He's on TV every week. Speaking of guys, though, the opposite end who don't get any time and have asked for their release, Sin Cara just came out and said, I don't want to be here anymore. Asked for his release. Sounds like WWE is not going to grant it to him. Just another, you know, a long line of people, Luke Harper, Mike Kanellis, Sin Cara. What do you think of that? Is that even a big deal?
No, not really.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you know that even if they were to let him go, they could stick anybody else under that mask.
Right? They've done it already.
Yeah. I mean, he's the second guy to play it, right? I mean, yes, you need to be able to fly around a little bit. Yes, you should probably be somewhat the same size, but it's not like it wasn't obvious when the first guy took over, or the second guy took over for the first guy, and he had a massive tattoo on his shoulder. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't there. You know, this is a guy who weighs another 25 pounds over the first guy. Oh, and there's a huge tattoo. Like, they can keep the character and just let the guy go. So I don't know why they're not doing that. But he's got like 3 years left on his deal or something, and they're not going to let him out of it. But it's just another example of people, some guys who love it, some guys who want out, and doesn't sound like they're going to get out. I don't know, man. What else should we do? What else should we talk about?
Full gear.
Right? Yeah. we did a little bit, didn't we? Didn't we talk about the MJF stuff a little bit?
Nope.
Or did we do predictions for it?
We did predictions
for it. Our last show was just predictions. Yeah, we were pretty bang on.
Yep.
we knew the MJF stuff was coming.
Let's talk about that match first.
Okay.
That match was perfectly done. Perfectly done. And then WWE would have messed it up somehow with the white flag finish being, like, you know, thrown in the towel kind of thing. They would have made it look very disappointing. And while it was disappointing to see the match not end in a decisive win, it was a very good finish for a guy like Jericho, who didn't actually win, technically. It was very good for Cody, who lost but also didn't lose, so he didn't actually lose any credit in, as far as, like, well, I got pinned or I got tapped out. There was technical submission, obviously, but you know what I mean? And for MJF, this was the perfect way to make him go from, you know, best friend of Cody Rhodes, and they're super close, and I had to end the match because I felt so bad for you, and, like, you were in pain, and then all of a sudden he low-blows him, and now he's a heel, which is great because we know that MJF is probably going to be the best heel in the company for, ideally, a long time.
I'm going to reserve my judgment, at least my full judgment on this match until I watch Dynamite tonight. I did like the match. There are two things I took away from it that I had issues with. I love the towel throwing thing. I thought that was a good idea. I agree with you that it's an interesting way to get out of Jericho losing the title and get Cody Rhodes into a situation where he loses the match and he's not going to be up for the title. But here's the two issues that I have. One, which has nothing to do with the finish, Cody Rhodes needs somebody to slap him upside the head. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is now the third, maybe second, third time that he's done something ruining the storyline. Like that dive over the top rope onto the ramp where he smashed his face. What are you doing? Like, that's absolutely stupid. There's no reason to do it. And it didn't need to be a part of the story. And he risked the fact that he could have seriously hurt himself and ruined that whole match, right? Which is the biggest storyline on the show. So what are you doing that for? It's the same thing with the open chair shot that he took from Sean Spear. It's dumb. There's no need for it. I like Cody Rhodes. I thought his promo the week before was unreal. But somebody needs to wake this guy up and go, if you guys keep doing stuff like this, you're not going to have enough roster guys to field the TV show if you're not careful. Right? Like, there is a risk here, and we'll talk about the Moxley-Kenny Omega match in a minute here. There's a risk that you do stuff that is so out there that you hurt yourself. And when you do, and you can't wrestle or can't show up on TV, then what? What product do you air at that point, right? So somebody needs to smack him around and go, dude, just because you're the executive here and you're calling doesn't mean you need to do this stuff. Second, the only other thing that I'm not 100% sure why they did it, why not stretch this out a little longer? The throwing out cool, the MJF costing Cody the match and feeling all whatever, I'd have been totally okay if they waited a week, another week after that, and then had MJF turn. Because the one thing that I'm not sure why you wouldn't do this if you're MJF is if you are costing Cody the match and he loses, you've basically thrown away your ability to win the title or at least compete for it. If Cody Rhodes wins the match and then you turn on him, well, you're going to fight Cody for the title. Right? But MJF didn't do that. So how he explains that tonight will be interesting. Like, if he comes out on the promo, and I'm sure he'll get the opening of the show, and he'll say his promo because he's fantastic at it. If he explains the why he did it, and it wasn't about the title, it was just about his built-up frustration over years of being Cody's whatever he says, then fine. Then I'm good with it. But if he doesn't explain that, I'm going to be like, why would you do that? Like, why would you cost yourself an opportunity to win the title? Because at the end of the day, that's what we know he's all about. Right, he's a jerk and he wants to be the best and he wants the title. So that didn't happen to me. But other than that, I thought the match was great. I thought the storyline was good. I thought the towel throwing in was an interesting idea and a really creative way to get out of it. And you're right, WWE probably would not have done those things. So that was smart. What did you think about the Moxley Omega match?
It was so good. I don't know why it was unsanctioned. I know they did it just so they could make it like an all-out brawl and whatever. But even like when there's two moments that really stood out to me in that match, and it was when both Kenny Omega things, it was when he took the broom with the barbed wire on it and he just started sweeping across Moxley. That was so good to me. And then when he brought out that big board with mousetraps on it, like just the reveal of all like dozens of mousetraps on this giant board. It's just so stupid, but terrifying, right? So I thought it was good.
Are you with people who are critiquing the match for not just being a sideshow? Like, that it was so crazy that that's not really wrestling? Are you with them? Or are you like, dudes, shut up. Like, it was entertaining. That was the point. Like, it was different than everything else. It was fun to watch. You know, which train are you under? Are you like, this was so out there that you can't even call this wrestling? Or this was really entertaining. I don't care if it wasn't wrestling.
Can we stop chanting ECW every week if we don't want to see matches like this? You know? Yeah. I thought it was a fun match.
The same people who call for the Attitude Era to come back and then they get one in the Rusev angle and then they hate it. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Right? But yeah, I thought it was good.
I
was impressed with Omega, and I haven't really been all that impressed with Omega since AEW aired. And this was the first time that I was like, wow. Like, I know what Omega can do, and I've seen him wrestle other matches in other places, but he hasn't been all that impressive to me in AEW, but this was actually really good. Like, I was surprised by the amount of stuff that he was willing to do, right? I expected it out of Moxley. I did not expect it out of him. I did not think that he would be the guy that fell on the mousetraps. I did not think that he would be the first guy to go through that, whatever they called it, the barbed wire netting, the spider web thing. Like, he went through all of that, right? And at some point, the funniest thing was, I think he was most hurt when he jumped or he bulldogged Moxley onto the, it wasn't tacks, it was the glass, and then he stuck his thumb in one. And I don't know if you noticed that part, but that bothered him. Like, it got him in the hand and he wasn't expecting it. And he had to shake that off for like the next 3 or 4 minutes, right? So clearly he was in pain during a lot of that. he kept doing it. Like, it didn't stop him at all. And that's not the kind of match I expected Omega to really be a part of. It was pretty, pretty insane, entertaining, and whatever. But it was good. I was cool with it. So when the JF thing ended at like 5 minutes to what, I'm like, dude, they're giving these guys 5 minutes to wrestle, and then they had another half an hour tacked onto the end of the pay-per-view. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'm like, how are they going to do this match in 5 minutes? I thought, oh man, here comes a swerve that nobody wants. But it was really good. It was long, and you know, all these people that are saying, oh my gosh, I've never seen the ring boards before, they aren't the first to do it. But it was a cool effect anyway.
Yeah. So you had that match was really good. Jericho versus Cody, really good. Moxley Omega, really good. Honestly, the whole card was really, really solid. I thought that even like the weakest match in the show would have been Sean Spears against Joey Janela. And even that was really good because Sean Spears showed that he can be a heel, like a really good heel that just wants to cheat to win, right?
Yeah. That match was okay. The real match for me was the downer of the show. And I say this because I like Rio when she wrestled Nyla Rose. I thought that was an excellent match. But this match was just too long, and the fans weren't invested in it. And it was
Rio against Emi Sakura?
Yeah, it was too long. I thought
it was really good. It was like 13 minutes.
Yeah, good match, but when your fans aren't into it, you can't run that long a match. I was watching it thinking to myself, here's the issue where AEW has long matches for the sake of having long matches, and sometimes that's at your detriment, right? Like, that match could have been 3 or 4 minutes shorter and had a lot bigger effect, but they just ran it too long, right? When you don't have people invested in it, like when it isn't, you know, David versus Goliath, Rio versus Nyla Rose, and it's just two people that have wrestled each other, I think they said like 329 times or something. You know, what is it? It's entertaining enough. It's a good match. I mean, it should be a good match when they wrestle each other that much, but it just was too long for me. But other than that, the card was good. I thought it was good from beginning to end. And I thought the pack result was, everything that we said pretty much, and which is logical, right? Told me decent pay-per-view, everything made sense, you know, book it this way because that's how you should book it, right? So Hangman Page winning made sense, you know, Sean Spears winning made sense. What else did we say? Oh yeah, Young Bucks lost, we figured that would happen, makes sense.
But man, that match was incredible. Proud and Powerful against the Young Bucks is probably the match of the night. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to, we've talked about the Young Bucks and their matches a lot. If you like the idea of the spot, here's one of the things I do have to say about the pay-per-view, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, but did you catch all the windfall coming into the pay-per-view? Like the Pac match on Dynamite where the referee just stopped counting for no reason, where he beat Trent, and then he pinned him off the top rope. I don't know if he knocked out Trent or what, but the referee went to count three. Trent clearly did not kick out or lift up a shoulder. He just stopped counting. Like, it was weird. And so then Pac put the submission on and he beat him that way. It result wound up being the same, but it's just a really big botch by the referee. And they got a lot of criticism for it. And even the referee himself, I can't remember what the guy's name is, I'd have to look it up, but he came out and said, yeah, we're working on this. Like, we're aware that a refereeing is somewhat of an issue, that we don't always count the 20 counts, that we don't always have the right guys. Like, they know it, right? The AEW execs have talked to them, the refs have talked amongst each other. And they talked about that a lot in the pay-per-view. And Jim Ross even said, you know, made a reference to the fact that the referee got himself in a good position to count the shoulders down instead of just counting from where he couldn't see. He was trying to give him props, right? Like, he was really going out of his way to give, you know, kudos to the referees. But I still found that there was a lot of unexplainable stuff. Like, just things you're like, what? Like, in the, what's her name, Audrey? The female referee. How many times did Cody? How many times did all of those things would have been disqualifications in any other match? She just ignored it. Yeah. I mean, they got to figure out a way to explain that stuff, right? And if they don't, and the longer they pull that off and don't say anything, the more people are gonna be like, seriously? Like, now you're becoming WWE. What are you doing, right? Like they've got to figure out a way to do that. Because it doesn't look good. They've got to, and they can't just say, oh, well, she wants Cody not to have a disqualification so that he can fight for the title. Like, referees are supposed to be impartial. Like, that's not a legitimate disqualifying for a million reasons, you should have disqualified him. Right. So
yeah, stuff it's like stupid that, to they do it for a storyline because it doesn't make any sense, right? Especially if you're trying to like advertise yourself as a legitimate company where you're like wins and losses count. You can't just then have the referees look the other way for storyline purposes.
Well, yeah, and they're talking about the wins and losses. I mean, did you see the end of the pay-per-view? I think Moxley looked into the camera four or five times and gave the finger and dropped an F-bomb about the win-loss record. He doesn't care. Like, he just completely ignores it. Yes, partially that's a character of his, but the other part is, like, that's what it's becoming. When you have refereeing that is so inconsistent and you don't really explain why your win-loss record means what it means, or you put these lights-out matches so that they don't affect the win-loss record, like, it doesn't make sense. Why have it? Like, it just... it's really kind of silly, and even Moxley calling out and being like, this is stupid. Like, why do we have this?
Yeah.
It doesn't help their product, right? So they're going to have to figure
I think it's intentional. I think that's character-based where it's that's him just trying to be the rebellious, like, breaking character, you know, blur the lines kind of deal.
Yeah, it might be.
But I agree. Yeah, the win-loss thing is it's kind of weird, the way they execute
it. They need to explain it better. I mean, and those... judges go and great Muda more wrestling. Like, those guys were literally just thrown out there to be able to say, oh yeah, here's if we ever were to need it, here's our solution to a match that might not go. Like, it's just, we better explain this somehow. Let's just put these guys out here. Like, they had one pad of paper between the three of them and they weren't making notes. And then Jim Ross said, well, how this works is they're not actually, there's no point system. They're just going to pick who they think should win if it comes down to a judge's decision. It's like the, I don't know if you're a Simpsons fan, but like Lisa's school friend, I can't remember his name. He's like, I choose you, like on his Valentine's card. It's like, okay, so you just pick who you want to win? Like, at some point, you know that that's going to be an angle, right? Like, someone's going to buy a judge, right? Like, they're going to, someone's going to tip off Arn Anderson and he's going to rule in the favor of some guy because he was paid off. Like, it's so glaringly obvious that that may be what they do, but it's so pointless at the same time. You're like, okay, what? They have these judges out there that if it goes to a judge, they're just going to pick somebody?
Yeah, like, it's really
weird. I think you win. Like, what? Like, there's some of that stuff, and I'm just like, what are they doing?
It's a
like,
very WWE clearly, angle.
Well, they haven't thought it through yet. That's exactly what's going on. They're trying to come up with these short-term solutions of things they haven't quite thought through all the way, and they're like, oh, shoot, we better not do that because that's a WWE thing.
Oh,
and then it looks really bad, and you're just like, oh, you guys needed to take a second on that one. So that kind of stuff drives me crazy. But those are little things. Like, that's not – the majority of the matches were great. The booking was good, you know, but the little stuff. It's like, you better figure this stuff out because if you don't, it's going to come back and bite you. But WWE does it all the time. So to be fair, it's not just a one-sided thing. It's not just an AEW thing for sure.
Well, they're starting to see that it's not so easy to just run a company at this scale and make it perfect at all times, right? And it maybe some of these things are intentional. We're not giving them enough credit. Maybe they're intentionally putting it like this and setting things up for the future. Maybe they really are overlooking some things, but either way, we know it's not easy. And while we give WWE a lot of flack for stuff, well-deserved, to be fair, they also it's a lot. It's a really hard industry to get right.
Well, and here's where I do defend WWE a little bit more than I would defend AEW. Now, I know that AEW is new and they're learning, but they have 2 hours a week. That's it. That's all they got to do. 2 hours a week and a three-hour pay-per-view.
Which is perfect. That's how it should be.
Right? So they shouldn't have that hard of a time spending that whole week coming up with ideas and storylines that make sense. The WWE has 3 hours on Monday. You know, they've got 2 hours at USA NXT on Wednesday. They've got 2 hours on Friday. They've got main event. They've got all this other stuff that they shoot. They're coming up with literally dozens of hours of taping television every week, right? Yep. So their odds of screwing something up are way higher. Like, when you have that much content that you have to think up, you're going to make
the storylines themselves. And like, how do you do this to yourselves where it's very clearly just not good, right? That's my issue.
Yeah, that stuff, the bare bones, the meat and potatoes of the ideas they're coming up with, some of them are just garbage. And what disappoints me the most, I suppose, is that you wonder how much a guy like Paul Heyman is actually running things. Because I wouldn't think that Heyman would come up with this Rusev thing. But if he is, then you're like, you have a different impression of what Paul Heyman is thinking, right? And if he isn't, then you're like, okay, well, clearly Paul Heyman's not in charge. So what's really going on here, right?
That's what I wanted to talk about last week, though, too, with Paul Heyman. I said I want to talk about Brock Lesnar later. When he was on SmackDown, it was kind of weird that they had Paul Heyman on SmackDown despite him running Raw, right? So it's kind of, it makes sense that he's over on Raw now.
Yeah, I mean, there's the difference. Yeah. For sure. Like, it's easier for travel and all that kind of stuff, right? But, yeah, there's a difference between a character and then the guy who's running the show behind the scenes, because whether or not they ever actually say on television that he is the executive director of Raw, even though they know everybody knows it, will be interesting if they do that one day. But for now, he's just the guy that everybody knows is running the show, but they never talk about is running the show. But this is not, I mean, I did watch a lot of ECW back in the day, and there were some storylines like Beulah and Tommy Dreamer and stuff, yeah, where they had the, you know, I'm pregnant issues and stuff. Like, it's not like it's totally beyond Paul Heyman to write this stuff, but I mean, this is pure garbage. Like,
that was also back in the 90s and like early 2000s, right? Like,
right. And it was much better done. It was much more well done. Like, this stuff was a legitimate surprise. It didn't feel like it was thrown together. They built up the storylines, the angles. They included other guys like Raven and all. They played it out well. Here, it's like, there's been no, from day one when Rusev came back and Bobby Lashley just showed up on the stage and he brought out Lana. I said this on a couple weeks ago on our show. I'm like, why? Like, where did this come from? Like, we don't even know why Rusev was gone. We don't know when they split up. We don't know why Lashley's all of a sudden involved. I mean, everybody knows that Lashley's actually married. So it's like, why choose these three to do this with? And where is the origin story? There's none. And every week they come out and they say something brand new where there's no background. And
you're like, yeah, it's adding new narratives that don't give us any answers.
There's no reference point here for any of it. There's no layers. There's no nothing. It's just,
and like, I don't think anyone cares either. I don't think anyone cares about what the origin is. I just want this to end. Like,
And it ends the same way every week. He beats up Rusev and they make out. Like,
that's all they did. I made it completely end. Let's get rid of this entire
Fast forward, it's like, same. Like, it's just going to do the same thing every week. It's no matter what she says, this week I'm pregnant, I'm not pregnant. Like, and he comes out and he looks like a total moron. Like, I get it. He's getting tons of TV time and he's got the most hits on YouTube and all that stuff. But Rusev looks like a bonehead. Like,
yeah.
He just is like, that whole segment on Raw this past week where they were like, yeah, I'm pregnant. She's like, well, he cheated on me first. It's like, well, where'd that come from? We didn't know that. Yeah. Like, what? He did? And he's like, so he comes out and he says, oh, well, so what? I wanted too much of this and I cheated first. And he doesn't answer any of it. He doesn't, like, just whatever. And then she starts hitting him and then Lashley comes out. He's like, what? Where's the story here? There's no story here. He's like, they should have brought Maury Povich on. Like, they should have done that. When they talked about doing it and then they decided not to, they should have done it. Right? Like, that's exactly what this is. Yeah. Anyway. So, yes, I'm not trying to just say that AEW is messing up. AEW clearly has some terrible ideas, and everybody seems to know it. But they're going to keep doing it because it's the most watched and viewed segment on YouTube. So, I'm sure it's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway. Okay, well, let's call her there. I mean, obviously, we wanted to top the CM Punk stuff, and nothing in the news this week is going to top that story. So, that Punk is back. We'll have to watch that one. Let's remind everybody where they can hear us.
Anchor.fm, the YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, really anywhere you get your podcast needs.
Yep. And we hope that people listen, enjoy it, download it, rate it, share it, subscribe to it, pass it along to your friends, and have a listen. Let us know if there's anything you want to talk about. I guess the one thing that we should probably talk about, and I'll let you answer this question, we'll just do one answer each. I did, like I said at the beginning of the show, I posted it on Twitter. What is the one story in the last 5 years of wrestling that you think is the biggest story in wrestling? If you could pick one, what would your story be?
Biggest story in wrestling over the last 5 years?
Yeah. Because there's a ton this year alone. So let's go even bigger. Let's open up the thing and say, what's the biggest in the last 5 years?
You're talking about, like, not even like a wrestling storyline, but like the biggest story in the world of wrestling.
The biggest news item to come out of AEW or WWE. And even if you want to branch outside of this.
AEW starting their company?
Yeah, that's probably what I'd go with too. There's a really massive story.
Paige having to retire.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan coming out of retirement. You'll see
him. Is Daniel Bryan retiring and coming back? Like both of those.
Like Edge retiring, possibly coming back. All of these things are major stories that you can't ignore, but I don't know how you don't pick AEW here. Like the idea that even 5 years ago, the idea that even 5 years ago there could have been another wrestling company that had a chance of competing with WWE was just hard to imagine. Like you couldn't even, if you had asked me 5 years ago if there would be another company, and would that company be run by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, I'd have been like, no way, no possible way. Yet somehow they've managed to take an indie show, sell out an arena, get a deal on TNT, get a backer who's got billions of dollars, if not more money than Vince McMahon.
Probably more money than Vince McMahon, yeah.
They're legit, right? Like they are a real wrestling company that WWE is concerned about.
Yeah.
Right? And wrestlers are leaving for them. Like it's a massive story, and I don't know if there's going to be another story in wrestling in the next 5 years that'll top it. I mean, if maybe AEW folds and it becomes the XFL of wrestling, that's one thing, right? But I can't see that happening, right? They're off to a much better start than the XFL ever was, and they've got some money, so it'll be
the XFL coming back is another news item, like right? Like there's
coming
so
back,
many
yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. There are some huge news stories in the last 5 years. I was really struggling, and then just all of a sudden I thought, well, the obvious one's right in front of me, and it just it seems like it's so long ago now that AEW was even announced that, and like when we had Chris Van Vliet on the show, that you know AEW employee Chris Van Vliet. When we had him on the show, AEW was still just an idea. And now here we are, and the show is full-fledged, and they've put on a few pay-per-views, and I think that the last two pay-per-views are better than anything we've seen in WWE for the last 10 years. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they in their short window of time, they have done a much better job than anybody probably ever assumed that they would. There are some holes there, but I mean that's gonna be natural to anybody who's new and starting this and going a whole different route. Like these indie guys aren't used to this stuff. I mean, and the Young Bucks were on the Busted Open radio show and they said this is a total learning curve for us. Like every week we think we're getting a little bit better at it, but man, are we running around like chickens with their head cut off trying to figure this out. Like it's constantly learning for them. So yeah, kudos to them for doing it. And the shows have been good. I mean, there's been some issues, but the shows have been really good. So cool, man. Okay, well, AEW, we're both on the AEW train being the biggest story in the last 5 years. I'm curious if maybe when we do the next show, if we'll have more answers here from people. Like some mentioned Daniel Bryan, some mentioned other stuff. But yeah, there's lots of good stories. I'm curious to see what else gets popped up on there.
The whole Hulk Hogan scenario being like released in WWE and then coming back. Like there's so much like huge mainstream news, right? Yeah. Roman Reigns' cancer announcement.
Yep.
There's a lot of really big stuff.
That's a big story that I don't think it's enough whatever, but probably only because it seems so short of a time span. Like, nobody really knew, and then within months he was already back, so it didn't get as much play as it might have normally.
Yeah.
But big story, too. Yeah. But some of the stuff you might have seen coming, like Hogan to me, seems like if it wasn't that, it would be something else. You know what I mean? Like, he seems to be that guy, sticks his foot in his mouth and says something dumb. So it doesn't shock me that something like that were to happen. But yeah, the Saudi Arabia story is huge, right? WWE signing that deal and then the controversy over it. You know, all that stuff is massive too. All right, man. Well, we'll leave her there for this week. I'm curious to see what happens with Punk. But yeah, thanks for coming on so quickly to chat about it because we couldn't ignore it. It was too big a story to let it go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. You asked us today was a good day to record, and usually we do it on like a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, really depending on our schedules. And Wednesday being like the earliest day now, and you asked, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like just because I knew right away what we were going to talk about.
So. Yeah, yeah, it was an easy one for this week. Okay, man, I will talk to you next week. And for everybody else who's listening, thank you for tuning in. Again, share it, download it, subscribe to it, listen to it, and rate us. And then we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds great. Take care.